The opinions and views in the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Dating can be great fun. It's certainly a great way to get to know someone and build a relationship, but it can also be scary, and in more ways than one. Sure, there can be shyness associated with dating, but there are also potential risks as well. And my guest today will discuss dating, including safety issues. Please welcome the dating doc, Sean David Jackson. Sean, how are you?
Great. How's it going, Big JD?
Going good. Great to have you on the show. So dating is supposed to be fun, but it isn't always. And we'll talk about some of these things that can make dating not so fun. And before we get into potential dangers, maybe, is one of the things incompatibility, though?
Well, definitely incompatibility is one of the big things, because unfortunately, a lot of people go on their perception of the person's physical, how they look, and that is only, I say, the physical looks, although people put so much emphasis on it. I mean, it is important to be attracted to a person. But I say it's like a 100-point test, and that physical attractiveness is only 50 of those 100 points.
Right.
And so, this is a college listenership, right? So what is 50 points on 100 if that's all the person has?
Sure. What about expectations when someone thinks the date should maybe go a certain way, or that person should be or act a certain way?
Well, one of the things that I suggest for people is, even before they go on the first date, is to start getting an indication of two things. Number one, what that person's perspective is on dating. I mean, for example, why they date. You know, what are they trying to accomplish? You
right.
could subtly ask questions about that, you know, by just, you know, in the conversation, say, oh, you know, what do you think dating is still relevant? You know, why do you think it's still relevant? The other thing, too, I recommend people do is, before you go on the date, ask the person what their idea is of the ideal date.
Oh, sure.
And that can eliminate some of the misconceptions of, you know, you're going on the date, you know, this person is attractive, and you think, oh, wow, this is going to be great. And you have no idea of what that person is looking for generally in dating, what they're trying to accomplish. And two, you don't know what, on a particular date, they expect to happen. And it could be very different from your perspective.
Now, do people get heartbroken if a first date doesn't work out? Or does that affect some people in that way?
Yeah, they do. Back in the day, I went on this blind date, and I talked with the person a few times on the telephone, and we decided to meet up at this public place. I thought, you know, this is going to be pretty safe. It's going to be hundreds of people there at this particular event.
Right.
And I met the person, sat down with the person, turned to me and said, well, what do you think? And I'm like on the spot sweating, and tried to give a real nice diplomatic answer and said, well, you know, I'd like to get to know a person. And she kind of like snapped back at me and said, look, I'm not about playing games. I'm looking to get married.
Okay.
So, you know, apparently I didn't understand her expectations going into this date.
Now, you talk about...
Question, she was kind of upset because, I didn't pursue this thing any further. I mean, so...
And you also talk about red flags that'll tell you a date could be trouble. And what are some of those things?
Yeah, I would say, you know, back to what we were talking about at first about compatibility. If, you, for example, a lot of people I help, what they use dating as is a potential way for finding that lifelong marriage partner. And if that's why you're dating, and you don't get a good feel up front for what the person's reason for dating is, then you could have some serious compatibility issues. For example, one gentleman that I was talking with, he his whole thing about dating was just, oh, well, he just, you know, it's something to do, and he just liked to kick it. So if there is totally a difference in where you're going with dating, that's a warning sign. On the other side, too, a more dangerous side of physical safety, what I say to people is there's three things that about dating, especially when you're starting out a dating relationship with somebody that you don't really know well. Number one, I tell people avoid secluded locations. There's so many things you can do on a date in public places where you don't have to be having a picnic off in the woods. Ever. The other thing, too, is I advocate for people, don't use mind-altering substances. That puts you at a very vulnerable situation. And, I know you and I were kind of interacting a bit about date rape drugs, and not only that, but I advocate for people, even drinking can put you in a vulnerable situation.
Right.
And then, go ahead.
Nope, just listening.
And the third thing, too, is there's some things that you really check out about a person. For example, if you have mutual friends, one of the things, and you can't go solely on that, I would advocate, talk about this person that you're interested in, too, your mutual friends, kind of get a feel for what they're all about. On a more serious note, with the Internet now, you can pull up information on people. You'd be surprised at what's out there. One of the sites that I've gone and looked at, criminalsearches.com,
mm-hmm.
free area there. You can pull up and see, is this person you're about to go on a date with, is there something in the record readily available right there that's going to give you a clue that this is not the right one? And then, of course, check out their Facebook page. Check out what they're doing on social media. Sometimes that's a hint that this person is in a different place than yourself.
Right. Such as Facebook and things like that, I guess. So what about ground rules? Should they be established early on, such as where you'll go and who might pay and things like that?
Well, you raise a good point, because in today's society, it runs the gamut of what people believe. You do need to lay the ground rules before you go on the date. And one of the things that I tell people is don't let the other person be totally in control of your transportation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As you're getting to know a person, you can't, again, go on their physical. Some people think that, oh, this person is attractive. There's no way they could have any ill motives, or they're feeling the way I'm feeling, and they're projecting their feelings on that person. So I say, be in control of your transportation. A lot of times, if you can meet up at the restaurant or the event, that's great. The other thing, this may sound old-fashioned, but it's another safety tip. If you can go out with kind of a group event where you know some of the people, and maybe they know some of the people, some people may think, oh, that's kind of square. But for your safety, it's really a good idea, just getting to know a person.
Sure. And I want to ask you about some of the, when things go bad, what are some of the exit strategies that you can kind of use to maybe get out of a date or even out of a relationship, if somebody's abusive, perhaps?
Well, here's the thing I say is that if the person gives you any indication that they have a violent tendency, they don't have to perpetrate violence against you, but even if they talk in that manner, you should be ending the relationship. And if you're in a relationship where you feel any threat of your physical safety, I would say you can end it by phone, by text message, whatever you need to do. Because sometimes what people will do is say, "Well, if you're going to break up with me, you got to do it in person. You have to say it to my face." No, you don't. It's all about your personal safety. And sometimes what people will do is they'll show up at your house. Do not unlock the door, do not open the door, if they will not leave. That is what law enforcement is for. Dial 911.
Sure. Are blind dates generally a good idea? Or is that something that should be avoided? Is it a thing of the past, maybe?
Well, the thing is you can go that route, but you've got to use certain rules in doing that, strategies in doing that. Number one, I would not just show up at an event, you know, because so-and-so says they got somebody for you and that's going to be your date, and you show up, you can talk with them, you have no clue as to what the person's all about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you can begin by doing is maybe talk on the phone a bit, have a conversation. As I said, a group event is a good way to meet somebody in a more safe environment. And if you're going out, you know, with a group of people, maybe let's not even call it a date. Maybe let's just call it, hey, a group of us are going out, and then you can meet the person and kind of on a safe ground, kind of get to know them a bit at the event, begin to get to know them. And if this is like just not the person, it's less traumatic if you're ready to leave.
Yeah,
it's not like you're dumping your date. It's like, oh, well, we're just a group of people. You know what I mean?
And then there's a saying that opposites attract. What are your thoughts on that?
There is some truth to that. Nobody, I mean, usually people don't want a clone of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're narcissistic or something. But generally,
are you still there? Sounds like we may have lost Sean. That's kind of unfortunate. I'm going to cut back in here because we have Sean David Jackson back on the line. Sean, are you with us?
Yep, I sure am.
All right. We had some phone issues there, and I wanted to continue this. Maybe we can rebroadcast that Anvil show another time. But Sean David Jackson, you're referred to as the dating doc. How did you get that name, and what got you interested in speaking and writing about dating?
Well, basically, going way back, getting involved with the internet and just counseling people through community situations, doing life coaching type activities.
Sure.
And then dating being one of the significant things in many people's lives, and counseling people in that area, I intended to write an article, sort of blog style, and on dating. And as I began to write, there were so many things that I wanted to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That the article got larger and larger and larger, and finally, this is too big to just put as a blog post, and it came into a form of a book. So I released it as a dating survival guide. It's a little over 200 pages. Folks want more information on purchasing that, then go to buytheguide.com. That's BUYTHEGUIDE.com.
Right.
But that's how I got into the book thing. Just it was a natural outgrowth of counseling and coaching for people that I was already doing.
Sure. And you counsel adults and youth as well on dating. Are some of their issues the same?
Yeah. You know, although I find sometimes people who are older, they think they've got it all covered, and when you begin to talk with them, some of the same issues. You know, as we were talking earlier about safety. I mean, sometimes people that are older, they still have this trust factor based on they feel like, okay, I met this person and they look attractive to me, and I feel like, you know, I'm a real good judge of character, and this person could, you know, not be a bad person. And sometimes it's not just a bad person. Sometimes it's just a matter of incompatibility.
I mean,
different people have different life goals and things that they want to do. And, for example, I was dating this one young lady years ago, and we became real serious and more of a kind of, you know, family kind of guy, you know, want children, that kind of thing. And she was trying to pursue a career that was going to have her traveling around the country. Not necessarily a bad thing, but that just wasn't going to work. And so, of course, that relationship dissipated. And so those are things that you don't necessarily see straight off the bat when you see that attractive person across the room. Those are things that you need to get into, and as you get to learn the person, you start discussing what they're all about. And you find these sometimes major incompatibilities, even though the person may be a totally great person.
Right. Now, are there a percentage of people who just choose not to date? Maybe they're happy with being single?
You know, and that's a thing that I do advocate to people, that if you have no interest, I mean, just absolutely no interest, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Because our society, a lot of times, too much puts pressure on people that, you know, you got to be with someone. Who you with? You know, you got to be hooked up, and which that's totally wrong. And the other thing I say is, if you are dating, you need to sit down and think about why you're dating. You know, you shouldn't date just because, oh, everybody else is doing it, and all my friends are doing it, or, you know. You should really have reasons why, you know, you personally want to date. And if you don't want to date, that's fine, too.
Yeah, very good. And I want to talk a little more about your book, The Dating Survival Guide. What kinds of topics do you cover in there? I did see some information on some of these, and I thought some of these were really interesting topics that are great to be covered, you know, for great information for people on homosexuality and interracial relationships. And I also want you to talk a little bit about the book being for married couples as well, because I found that pretty interesting.
Well, what I try to do is I try to break down dating into stages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And even one of the stages that I include in the book that people may not consider necessarily a stage, but I talk about how to break up. You know, we were talking earlier about ways to break up.
Sure, yeah.
And I even cover that. Because that is, I mean, for most people, you're not going to, you know, marry the first person you date. Because, you know, most of the time, even though people, you know, feel like, oh, this is the one, odds are, percentages are, the way percentages and statistics are, that is not going to be the person, and there will be a breakup. And there is a right way, and there is a wrong way to break up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just to hit on one thing on that stage of relationships, sometimes people get vindictive, or, you know, they want to retaliate because they're hurt.
Right.
You know, the thing is you don't want to do that. Not even if you feel that you've been wronged. I had a young lady that I was real serious at one point, and her friend, quote unquote, had told her that I was out with someone else, which actually was, you know, totally incorrect.
Right.
So, in order to just kind of, I don't know whether she's trying to prove herself or, you know, maintain some kind of, people say, face. She goes out with another guy, not realizing that her friend had misdirected her. So then when she tells me, oh, yeah, I went out with somebody else, I'm crushed. If she had not gone to, you know, a point of trying to retaliate and just really talk this through, think through, and just kind of waited a while, she might have realized that her friend had given her misinformation.
Right.
And really, that their relationship ended to a large degree because of misinformation, because of her trying to use retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's proper ways to break off a relationship.
What kind of advice, this is kind of twofold, what kind of advice might you give parents in dealing with children who start dating? And then maybe what type of advice would you give them that they would be able to offer their kids?
One of the things that I talk about in the book is the fact of, you know, in our society, we're pushing sometimes, I mean, at an early age, I mean, even before teenage, people are pushing people to, you know, have girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, where they're not even emotionally mature enough. As a parent, what you want to look at is, you know, what is the maturity level of my son or daughter?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, I advocate is if they're no way, you know, near the age, marriageable age, to really be pairing, you know, people off, what are you trying to accomplish? I mean, it's good for people to get together, young people to get together and go out in groups, but if you're pairing them off that, okay, we're exclusively only going out with each other, and they're way far from even marriageable age, you know, what are you trying to accomplish with that? That's kind of a setup for failure, and a lot of times They don't have the emotional maturity to deal with that kind of relationship. And it can affect other things such as, you know, their education and whatever, because, you know, you find a lot of these really they can't emotionally handle it, and it becomes their whole world, and it affects other areas of their life. And that even happens with older people. So, but
yeah. Sure. And I guess, I'd mentioned that you talk about your book also being for married couples. So do you recommend still dating years into a relationship? When you're married?
Yes, I do. Because too often what, you know, people do before marriage is like, I got to be with this person. I got to go out with them. I can't live without them. And then once they get married, it's like, okay, I got you now. I don't do any of that stuff I was doing.
Uh-huh.
That relationship is going to die on the vine. Let me backtrack and say, there should be, you know, we talked about opposites attract. There
right.
should be some things that the other person brings uniquely to the relationship. However, there should be some common things about you both, like, you know, likes and things that you enjoy to do and things you enjoy to pursue. If there is enough common interest like that, after you're married, there's going to be more life and vibrance and enjoyment in your marriage, because
sure.
there's, you know, all these lists of things that you enjoy to do.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And so, yes, after you get married, you want to still be dating that person. Now, I mean, it becomes a challenge in some situations, you know, after you start having children and that kind of thing, and there's some extra responsibilities, but you do not want to make that as an excuse to never try to, you know, you should still, where you can, work around it. If more organization is involved,
right,
like getting the kids to the babysitter or grandma or whatever, but still,
right.
you should be dating.
Well, very good, David, Sean, I really appreciate you being on the show. Sean David Jackson.
We want to give the website one more time.
And we want to give the website one more time where you can find his book. Go ahead.
Yep. Buytheguide.com. BUYTHEGUIDE. And there's also even, they can leave a comment question there if they care to. And then I've got some freebies over there.
Cool.
Including one of the things I wrote for Yahoo Personals that, you know, they used to get like millions
yep.
of visitors a month. And they can look at that about finding about your soulmate, basically.
Sounds good.
I
appreciate you being on the show, and definitely,
hey, thanks, JD.
Well, the listeners will check out your website at buytheguide.com, and my guest today shows us there are two sides to dating. Hopefully, you're all on the good side, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.
The opinions and views expressed in the preceding program are that of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM.